From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis from the Korean Peninsula. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Korean Context. I'm your host, Jenna Gibson. As most of our longtime listeners already know, January 13th is officially Korean American Day here in the United States. And every year, KEI celebrates Korean American Day by hosting a luncheon and honoring three honorees who have shown really great promise in their fields and have really represented the Korean American community. This year's theme for Korean American Day was recognizing leaders in journalism, and we chose three amazing honorees in the field of journalism and the media to come and be a part of our Korean American Day celebration. This podcast is the first of the interviews with those three honorees, and I'm very excited to have been able to sit down with Mei Lee, who is a correspondent for CGTN America and founder of Lotus Media House, who has built an amazing career in broadcast journalism, both here in the United States and around the world. So without further ado, I want to get to the interview. I want you all to be able to hear Mei talk about her great experiences in journalism and what it means to her to be a Korean American on TV. Please enjoy. So Mei, thank you so much for not only coming here and being part of our Korean American Day celebration, but also taking your time to talk with me for the podcast as well.
Well, it's an honor to be here, and I really want to thank KEI for this award. I have to say I was surprised and really humbled, so thank you.
I think the way I want to start, I guess, is from the beginning. How did you end up in journalism, or what was it about being a journalist that inspired you and has brought you to this career?
Well, you know, initially when I was young, I thought I was going to be a doctor, just like every good Korean kid is supposed to be, right? It's the stereotype of doctor, lawyer, engineer, and that was the expectation. So throughout high school and then into my first year of college, I really thought I was going to go to medical school. However, I realized that I really was bad at math and science. So it was an uphill battle for me. So clearly this was not my calling, you know, to be a doctor. So I really had to sit down and do some soul searching and ask myself, Mei, what is it that you really love to do? What is it that you enjoy and what are you fascinated by? And it was public speaking, it was writing, and it was storytelling and the visual media. So of course a light bulb goes off, and I was like, I think I need to be a broadcast journalist. Back then there weren't many of us. And when I say many of us, I mean Asian Americans doing this kind of work. So that in itself was a challenge, but I felt it so deeply in my soul. I mean, I know that sounds almost spiritual, but I really did. And I knew it was the right thing. From that moment, that's all I've ever done.
So one of the themes of the conversation that we had both with you and the other honorees throughout this entire day since we've been talking about the role of the media and your role as a journalist, it's this word storytelling, telling people's stories, informing people, but at the core, having that human story.
Right.
So how does that inform your work?
Well, I think the job of a journalist, of course, is storytelling. That's what we are assigned to do, is go out and get the story, whatever topic that might be, whatever figure we're supposed to be profiling. But over the years as a journalist, and now I can call myself a seasoned journalist, storytelling is beyond just words and pictures, you know, in my business. It really has to get to the essence and the core of what the subject matter is. And that means stripping away a lot of different layers, because look, we're all humans who have protective armor on, and sometimes we don't want to expose ourselves, or we don't want to talk about something that is unpleasant or unnatural. So a journalist's job is really to try to get through those layers and get to the truth, get to the facts, but then also try to make a connection so that a viewer, a listener, a reader will care. You know, ultimately, we want people to care about what they're hearing about, what they're reading about, and maybe sometimes have some sort of profound impact on your life. So to me, storytelling has to hit some of those areas. And when you do, you know it's been effective.
So on the flip side of that, you want to peel away those layers that you're saying. When you come in as a broadcast journalist with all this equipment, this big cameras in people's faces, and sometimes during the most difficult part of their lives,
yep.
How do you make people feel more comfortable inviting you in, or how do you get people to invite you into their lives during those difficult moments?
It's not easy, and you can ask any journalist, and we'll have the same response. It's our least favorite thing to do. Oftentimes, is at a moment of someone's ultimate vulnerability or grief or shock, the last thing you want to do is stick a microphone in someone's face and start rolling the camera. But we also have to approach it in a way of compassion and empathy. And experience counts for something, because once you've experienced a lot, maybe in your own life, I certainly have, or witnessed so many things in the world, you're able to have some more compassion, and you're able to approach a situation with sensitivity and honesty. And, you know, if they feel that you're being authentic and genuine, then it's amazing what happens. It's almost cathartic for people to be able to talk to somebody about what they've been through. And if you're approaching it in the right manner, it's amazing how people are willing to open up. The biggest compliment that people give me when I interview them in whatever circumstance, they'll always say at the end, "Wow, you made me feel really comfortable. It was really easy to talk to you." And that's what you want to do as a journalist. You want them to have a honest, open conversation with you.
On that theme of storytelling, I'm really curious. Of course, you've covered so many different things throughout your career. Are there any stories that have really stuck with you, or any stories you wouldn't mind sharing?
There are so many, and I everything from the most horrible incidents like 9/11. So I witnessed the whole thing in New York as a journalist, and I had to cover it. And unfortunately, a very good friend of mine was killed in the World Trade Center. So it had both a personal impact on me as well as professional. So that was probably the most shocking situation story that I've been in, the most emotional. I cried on the air, which, you know, a lot of high profile journalists did, because it was that powerful. I covered the tsunami in Asia, where I interviewed survivors. And I remember this one woman was in her hospital bed, and she was telling me that she was standing there with her baby in her arms, and then the next second her baby was ripped out of her arms, never to be seen again. She lost a leg, and you can't help but be completely moved and feel devastated by that. But that story was told by me because I wanted people to understand this wasn't just property and just like some faraway land that was devastated. These were people with real stories.
One thing that I think is really great about our theme this year, the fact that, you know, near 2018 Korean American Day, we chose to talk about the media and journalism, is that in a way that I have never seen before, I don't know if you had any thoughts on this as well, but the story has become the media and the journalists in a very odd way, because I think most journalists are used to being behind the camera, behind the notebook.
Right.
They're not the story. But the media has become the story in so many ways in this day and age. So I'm wondering your thoughts on not only that, but also how do you deal with that as a journalist?
Yeah.
How are you coping with some of those spotlight?
I mean, it's hard, because I don't think the media has been so scrutinized as we are now in this day and age, being called fake news, being you know, undermined in so many different ways and questioned. I think it's good for people to question the media, of course, especially in this day and age where there's so many different outlets and so many different platforms. You don't know who to believe, you don't know what to believe. So that's good. I think people should challenge what they hear about and what they read about. Becoming the story, it's not ideal. You know, the media shouldn't be the story, but it's, you know, without choice, we have become the story. So the responsibility then becomes greater for journalists to really do their job and to do it really well, to do our research, to find true facts, And to be able to corroborate those facts, and then to be able to present the information as it should be, properly, you know. As I said during today's talk, there's a renaissance going on in journalism, for sure. So the public realizes that journalism is important. The Fifth Estate has to stay intact, because without it, then, you know, democracy starts falling apart, truth, you know, who knows what that is. It can just be fabricated in any way. So our responsibility has definitely become heightened. The bar hopefully is being raised because of it. And interest in getting the right information is growing. So that's a good thing.
So, of course, we are here for Korean American Day. So yep. I want to ask you, as a Korean American in the media business, what does it mean for you to be Korean American? And what does it mean for you to be Korean American on TV and in the journalism industry?
Yeah, you know, when I was first starting in this business, or I should even just go back to my childhood, I grew up in the Midwest in Ohio in the 70s. And that was a time when obviously there weren't a lot of Asian Americans in the Midwest at all. And so for me, I had no identity as a Korean American. I just knew myself as an American kid, but then wanting to be more American, wanting to have the blonde hair and the blue eyes. I wanted to change my name to Mary. And so I was kind of trying to shun my identity as a Korean rather than embrace it. But of course, as I got older and I had a better understanding, and I really started embracing my identity, especially knowing that my parents immigrated from Korea, made sacrifices for their children because they wanted us to have a better life. And that's the immigrant story, right? And in this day and age where that's something that's becoming so divisive, such rhetoric coming out against immigration and the contributions that immigrants make, all the more reason for me to stand up, speak out, and be very visible in what I do and what I say and represent Korean Americans. In the media, I mean, I have a beautiful platform, clearly, because it is very visual. So I want to be that role model. You know, I want younger people to see that I'm a Korean American woman of immigrant parents who fought hard to get to where I am now. Mm-hmm. And you can too. Mm-hmm. If you believe in yourself, if you embrace who you are, don't let anyone tell you no if you think it's the right thing. Have compassion and conviction and just do it.
I do want to ask you about, you've worked for a lot of different stations. You've worked domestic, abroad, traveled all over the world to cover stories. But then I also find it interesting you started a media group, Lotus mm-hmm. Media Group, right?
Yep.
So how did that come about and how does that fit into your media career?
Yeah, I mean, so when I was living in Singapore, I was the anchor for CNBC Asia. But when I was there, and this was my second tour of duty in Asia, so I had been in Asia before for CNN in Tokyo and Hong Kong. Then I moved back to the States for a few years, and then I went back to Asia again. And this time around, I saw this evolution of women in Asia. There was this growing independence, growing empowerment of women. And I thought it was fascinating. I really did. And so I thought, you know, I think somebody needs to be the voice of this growing, empowered woman of Asia. And so I decided to start a talk show called The Mei Li Show. And some people dubbed it like the Oprah of Asia. And I was like, oh, don't call me that. That's too much pressure. But so because of that idea, I started my production company, Lotus Media House. And I thought, all right, if no one else is doing it, I'm going to do it. And so I quit my job at CNBC and I started this company and I launched the show. And it was a huge experiment. There was a lot of trial and error, but I'm glad I did it because it was one of those things where, you know, fear is the number one thing that prevents people from doing anything, right? I think so much in life is fear-based. I was willing to take that risk. I was scared for sure, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to take the risk and just do it and see what happens. If I fail, that's fine. At least I did it. And sure enough, you know, I'm so glad. I look back now. I'm so glad I did it. I would do it differently now, but I'm so glad I did it.
So I want to wrap up a little bit here. It's been a really great conversation, and I want to ask you for our closing thoughts. Any advice you might have for young aspiring journalists, and particularly Korean American journalists?
I always say this, especially to Korean Americans and Asian Americans, because I think we all share the same experience when it comes to our parents wanting us to do something that's pretty safe and stable. And going into the media and journalism, it's not the most stable industry to go into because, there's so many unknowns. And especially for, Asian Americans, it's changed a lot though. We obviously see a lot more Asians on television, in the media. But I say that, my advice is if you feel really strongly about being a journalist and you know what that means and you know what that responsibility means, then do it. You go for it because it is so gratifying and fulfilling to know that you can make a difference in providing information and telling people's stories. You are the conduit to the public in terms of educating them, informing them, and perhaps changing their lives sometimes with your stories. It's pretty powerful, but it's hugely responsible. And lastly, it ain't easy. So you have to be very dedicated and want to do this. But hey, I've been doing it for 30 years now and I'm still doing it, so I must like it for the most part.
All right. Well, thank you so much again for your time. Is there anything else that you think it's important for people to know about you, about Korean Americans, Korean American Day?
I'll leave you with this. We live in very interesting times right now, and if you watch the news, it seems like the world is falling apart, and there's a lot of division, there's a lot of conflict, there's a lot of hate, and it can be depressing, even for journalists. I mean, because we have to cover it all the time. But what I say is, don't just sit there and let it just make you depressed. If you feel moved, then do something. Take action. That's why we live in a democracy. That's why the United States is a great country. It already is a great country because of the opportunities it provides. And immigrants still want to come here because they want a better life. That's what they want. And that's what this country represents. And we should never forget that. Don't let all this noise get in the way, right? This is a country that provides so much opportunity and so much freedom. Let's not squander that.
Okay, perfect ending note. Thank you so much again for your time here.
You're welcome.
Thanks everyone for joining me here on Korean Context. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And definitely drop us a comment too if you like what we're doing or if you have a suggestion for someone we should be talking to about Korea. Please do let us know. We're always happy to get that feedback. So, thanks again for joining us here, and we will see you again next week.